Guys, I want you to let's greet Johnny Bash. He's back here on the back row here. We're going to be... We're going to be having a golf tournament in June for Johnny, and Marco Pierce is here with him. Marco is a guy that's heading that whole thing up. If you want to know anything about that golf tournament in June, if you want to be in my foursome, it'll cost you extra. Glad to have you guys here. And, you know, I was sitting here where Ed's sitting on the front row. Normally, John White is sitting there. John had surgery on Wednesday. He had some vertebrae that they had to go in and correct, and it's just his, I think it's 47th or 48th surgery. I'm kidding, but that's not too far off, I don't think. Over the years, he's going to be in hospital over here at Hoag Irvine for until tomorrow, and then they're going to move him to a rehab for a couple of weeks. So just giving you an update on that, and be praying for John and his speedy recovery. He's a hard man to hold down.
Amen.
I think a lot of you guys are hard men to hold down. Or just hard-headed, maybe.
Amen to that.
I'm getting amens from the congregation already this morning. Guys, you are on a journey. Everybody knows that. We're on a journey to become like Jesus Christ, to make our lives productive for Christ, fruitful for Christ. We're on a journey to become like Jesus Christ. Paul says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. He says, not that I've already gotten there, but I press on. I'm reaching and straining forward for that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I love the way he put that. For that upward call of God. God has come down here to get us out of the garbage and take us to the garden. Now, that doesn't happen physically very often, but it sure can happen spiritually. That we can walk in the garden. I come to the garden alone where the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear softly in my ear, the Son of God imposes. He's brought us to a garden, a place where we don't have to worry. We don't have to be fearful. We're going to have plenty to be fearful about while we're here in this evil world, this fallen world, this corrupt world. And we were corrupted with it. We were evil with it. There's nothing good in us until we came to know Jesus Christ and he forgave us for all our sin. He made us righteous and gave us his righteousness. And so we worshiped him. But this whole thing about the upward call of God, and I don't know about you, but in my life over the years, God has called me up higher. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book one time. It was called Two Steps Forward and One Step Back, and that was after he got to know me. I served on his elder board a couple of years, and I think after that he wrote that book. Because my life had been just that, and maybe yours has too. You're making progress, you're walking with God, kind of having some quiet times, no major sin problems, and yeah, life's not great, but it's good. But then there's that one step or two step back. And then I've been in times where it's one step forward, two steps back. But that's the thing. We're going forward. I press on. I'm striving. I'm reaching forward to that upward call of God. And what is the upward call of God? It's in Christ Jesus. It's that I may know Christ in a way that his purpose is my purpose. His heart is my heart. His thinking is my thinking. His ways are my ways. Isaiah 55 goes, you know, guys, your ways are not my ways. And just before 55 and 53 and 54, he talked about the sin of Israel. And he says, and I will blot out that sin. I will forgive that sin. I will restore you. The world doesn't understand that. That's grace. That's mercy. It's forgiveness. And the world just doesn't get mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And that's why he went on to say, because you need to know that my ways are not your ways. My ways of mercy and grace and forgiveness is not your way. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and I'm calling you up higher. Consider yourself today called up higher. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he's calling you out of the garbage into the garden. He wants you to come out of the darkness into the light. He wants to reveal Himself to you in a merciful, forgiving, life-giving way. He wants everything to be new. He wants you to be new. He wants new things to come. If any man's in Christ, new things have come. He's not the old man anymore. He's not bound to the old law anymore. He's not bound to works anymore. He's not bound and chained to the evil that's in his heart anymore. He doesn't have to sin. He's a new creature. Can I get a hallelujah from the congregation? I don't think we're excited enough about that. If you could see hell right now, you would have shouted your head off. Hallelujah. If you could see what hell is like, and if you do know Jesus Christ, you're going to miss hell, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Him. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be shouts going on. Just like Joseph led us in. You won't be unemotional. You won't be the frozen chosen. You're going to be stinking excited about Jesus Christ and all that He's given you, every spiritual blessing that He's given you now. But boy, this is just a taste. This is just a glimpse. It's a small deposit to what we have to look forward to. And we're losing our brothers right and left. Our brother Bill Jones passed away this week. And we're all going to pass away. That's number 4 on the Make Peace Reality charts. You're going to die. But we don't die like the world dies. We die with hope. We die with going from the land of the dying into the land of the living. Amen. Rather than the other way around. Yes. Meanwhile, we're here to reflect the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And He calls us up higher to be able to do that, to a higher plane of living, to a higher place, a higher way of thinking, a higher ways. He might say, my ways are not your ways, but when we come to know Jesus Christ, He's imparted to us the power through the Holy Spirit to walk in His ways, to walk in a manner worthy of Him, Paul put it. And that's your job and mine. My job is to walk in a manner that makes Jesus Christ look good. Instead of doing damage. We all do damage from time to time to the reputation and the testimony of Christ. But we don't want to, do we? I remember when my son got married, I think I shared this before. The pastor said, Patrick, will you hurt Danielle? Yes, I will. Do you intend to hurt Danielle? No, I don't. Danielle, will you hurt Patrick? Yes, I will. Do you intend to hurt Patrick? No, I don't. Now, the day may come when she does. Or he does. Well, I don't know why I said may come. There's a battle going on there. But, you know, here's the point. When you and I sin against the Lord, most of the time, not all the time, sometimes we purposely, on purpose, intentionally sin. Right?
Yes.
Go like that. Look at the guy next to you. If he's not going like that, help him. Because we all do that. We all fall short of the mark. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 1:20. My eager desire and expectation and hope being that I will never be ashamed, but that now as always I will continue to be bold and do honor to Christ in my own body by fearless courage, whether I live or die. He was in a prison. He was writing to the Philippian church from a prison in Rome. He didn't know if they were going to kill him or not. But he says, whether they kill me or not, I just want to not be ashamed. I want to have a good testimony. There was a story of these two missionaries. One was an older sage missionary. One was a young rookie. They were going to be burned at the stake the next day for Christ. And they were talking around the campfire that they had them chained up around. And after talking, they prayed and went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, the older sage heard a scream and he woke up. And that young missionary had stuck his hand in the fire just to see if he could take it. And he couldn't. And then the older man put his arm around him and said, son, that was a foolish test. God has not called you to put your hand in the fire, so He didn't give you the grace that you're going to need. Tomorrow He called you to die at the stake, and He will give you the grace you need. He'll give you the strength you need, the courage that you need to be a shining example that we don't die like other men. We don't die without hope. Oswald Chambers had a devotional on this verse. I want to read it again. My eager desire and expectation and hope being that I will never be ashamed, but that now as always, I will continue to be bold and do honor to Christ in my own body by fearless courage, whether I live or die. Well, we will all feel very much ashamed if we do not yield to Jesus in the areas of our lives He has asked us to yield to Him. It's as if Paul were saying, my determined purpose is my utmost for His highest, my best for His glory. To reach that level of determination is a matter of the will, not of debate or of reasoning. It is absolute and irrevocable surrender of the will at that point. An undue and insidious amount of thought, preoccupation, and consideration for ourselves is what keeps us from making that decision, although we cover it up with the pretense that it's others that we're considering. When we think seriously about what it will cost others if we obey the call of Jesus, we're just telling God He doesn't know what our obedience will mean. Keep to the point. He does know. Shut out every other thought and keep yourself before God in one thing only, my utmost for His highest. I am determined to be absolutely for Him and Him alone. Are you under challenge these days? Are you under challenge to live your life in my utmost for His highest perspective and heart and attitude? Have you been called to something higher? Has someone reminded you that if you do know Jesus Christ and you are a disciple, a follower, a child, a son of God, that you've been called to a higher plane of living? That you don't talk like you used to talk. You don't walk like you used to walk. You don't hate like you used to hate and get revenge like you used to get revenge. You don't cheat like you used to cheat and think like you used to think. You're a new man in Jesus Christ, and He's called you to better than that. Not the baser things of life, but the higher things of life.
Amen.
When we think seriously about what it will cost others, He knows. Shut out every other thought and keep yourself for this one thing, my utmost for His highest. Verse 21 went on to say, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. To live as Christ is, He's my resource and joy and my reason to live. To die as gain means that I'm going to be with Him for all eternity. Whether it means life or death, it makes no difference. Paul was determined that nothing would stop him from doing exactly what God wanted. But before we choose to follow God's will, now listen to this one, guys. Before we choose God's will, a crisis must develop in our lives. Anybody got a crisis developing in their life? Okay, good. You are a crisis, Trevor. A blessed one. But so are you. We're just crisis looking for a place to happen. Amen? If you don't have one now, just hold on. It'll be there. It's on its way. Life is full of crisis, unexpected pain and hurt and trials and difficulties. And here's what he's saying. It takes that crisis to get you to come to the place of making a decision. I'm either in or out. I have to decide I'm for or against whatever Jesus is calling me to yield my life to give up in my life. Here's the thing about going higher. And I don't know if the Lord's ever told you this, or if you hear His call to come up higher. But every time He's called me to come up higher, it's usually at a point where He's saying, and that thing there, it can't come. That habit, you can't bring it with you. You have to leave it behind. The way you've been talking, you can't bring that. If I'm calling you up higher, there's some things you're going to have to let go of, some things you're going to have to repent of, some things that you're going to have to change and allow me to change in you for you to come into my presence at a higher level. That's the reason we tell guys it's really important that you know whether you're a strong, mature man of God or whether you're a weak man of God. It's important that you know you are a man of God for you to go to that higher place with Him. Because if you're always wondering if you're really saved, a lot of guys are still wandering around in category number two when guys hear the gospel and they pray to receive Christ, but there's never a life exchange. There's never I'm in. There's never where I exchange my life for his life. I repent. I'm forgiven. And at that point, this mysterious, mystical, spiritual thing happens where I know I'm saved. And so there's so many guys that's prayed prayers, but they don't know they're saved. They don't have that assurance of salvation in Christ. They know they're going to heaven. There's no doubt in their mind. They know they're forgiven. There's no doubt in their mind. Not because they deserved it or earned it, but because they put their faith in Jesus through grace of Jesus. And he saved them. That's what he did with me. It's unexplainable. All I can do is say, once I was blind and now I see. Once I was in darkness and he called me into this marvelous light and changed my life. And I'll never be the same. Before we choose to follow God's will, a crisis must develop. This happens because we tend to be unresponsive to God's gentler nudges. Do you want to have to be just shaken like a dog toy, or do you just want a gentle nudge? You don't want to be shaken like my dog shakes his toy. I mean, you definitely need Advil after that one, about seven. But you know, you don't have to be hard-headed. You don't have to reject. You can receive. You can come easily or come hard. How do you want to do this? He brings us to the place where he asks us to be our utmost for him, and we begin to debate. He then providentially produces a crisis where we have to decide, I'm in or out, I'm for or I'm against. That moment becomes a great crossroads in our life. You want to go higher or not? I had no idea in the Father's waiting room, you guys know my story about losing our second son at birth. I had no idea what a crossroads I was facing in my life. That my wife and my baby's lives were going to be in danger that day. I was out minding my own business, shooting little hoops over at Rose Drive Friends Church with some buddies. They call up and say, your wife's in labor. We go to the hospital. I had no idea that day that God was presenting quite a crisis. And in that crisis, God, I just pray Susan to be okay, the baby will be okay. And he asked me those wonderful questions, best questions I've ever been asked in my life. Except when Susan asked me to marry her. Sweetie, I know. She's watching. But she did. That's another story. If you've been to Marriage Builder, you know all about it. How much control do you have over what's going on in there? How much control do you have over what's going on in your crisis right now? Maybe your health crisis, your financial. How much control do you really have over life in general? I mean, every time I get off the freeway, I'm going, praise God. I got off the freeway in one piece. I'm not kidding. I don't take it for granted. I'm prayed up going on, trying to pray and praise God coming off. Because I can't control how you drive. All I can control is how I drive, which I know you need to pray for me. How much control do you have? Well, Lord, I have no control. At least I knew that much. In that moment, I knew I couldn't control whether Susan lived or died, whether our baby lived or died. I was out of control, out of power, out of smarts, out of plans, out of intellect. I didn't have anything. Wasn't going to be able to solve this one. Okay, since I'm in control and you're not, and this is where the in or out, for or against comes. This is where the crossroad comes. Since I'm in control and you're not, would you purpose in your heart to praise me? And Paul put it, whether I live or die, and he put it, whether they live or die. Would you praise me no matter what? Would you praise me whether they live or whether they die? Would you purpose, and this is exactly how he put it, would you purpose in your heart to be my utmost for his highest? Would you purpose in your heart to praise me no matter what? Would you purpose it? And I didn't know all this at the time. I've had 38 years to figure this out. Would you purpose in your heart to live a remarkable life? To live a life that's up on this level here. Not down here. See, down here I get bitter. I don't understand. I'm confused. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I mean, that's what happens, and I've seen it happen when people have lost babies, lost loved ones, lost jobs, lost. And when we're not living at a higher plane, that's how we respond. We've been talking about Christ, and we know about Christ, but when the crisis comes, we're not living at a higher level. He's called us up higher. But we debated. We wanted to hold on to things that he said we could not bring to that higher level. I hit a crossroads and I had to decide, just like you do, just like we all do. I had to decide if I wanted to go to a higher level. What's up there in that light air of Christ? What do I have to gain here? Is he really who he says he is? Is this stuff really real, this Christian stuff? There comes a point in your life in crisis where you got to decide, is this stuff real or not? Is Jesus Christ who he says he is or not? Does he do what he said he would do or not? Does he work everything to good for my good or not? Is he good all the time? Does he have a good plan for my life? Is he a good God? Is he a righteous God, a holy God, a fair God, a just God? I was asking myself all those questions. I said I believed all that. Now I'm either in or out. Now I'm for him or I'm against him. And I got to decide what I'm going to do. And I tell you what. He gave me grace. I didn't decide anything. God gave me the grace if I wanted it, and I wanted it. And I came to the conclusion, God is all that, and I can trust him, and I want his plan, not my plan. I think that's what Jesus prayed. And I want to pray like Jesus prayed. Not my will, your will be done. You gave your son if you want my son and my wife. Who am I to tell you no? I'm your servant. I don't dictate to you. You're my Lord. You're my King. You're my God. Yeah. And so I humble myself under the mighty hand of God and say, Father, help yourself to my life. Have you done that? You don't just do it once, although the once you need to do it's the next one coming up. Whatever that is. Because we have a lot of these crossroads in our life. But once you've decided once and for all that my life is to live at a higher plane with Jesus Christ, well, I wrote a few thoughts about this. I woke up at 2:30. Nothing else to do. So I wrote a few thoughts about this. Come up higher, away from your own understanding and knowledge and ways, and come up to where my light will shine on your path. And confusing, complicated, evil things will become clear as you make your way in this evil world. Come up higher to the place you were created to live and love and have your being. Come up higher to the place where you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Come up higher to the place where turning the other cheek and going the second mile, blessing those who persecute you and praying for your enemies is your natural response, and you do it joyfully without bitterness or a sense of loss. Come up higher to the place where faith replaces fear, forgiveness replaces revenge, grace replaces your rights and expectations, and self-denial frees you from your insidious preoccupation with yourself. Come up higher to the place of experiencing and receiving the fullness of my spirit, my love, my joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, my faithfulness, my gentleness and self-control. Allow these to flow out of your heart and life as you live in my presence at my high place. Come up higher to know my heart, to understand my ways, and to receive my peace. Come out of the frantic chaos of the evil, busy, stressful world to my presence where rest and peace and grace reign. In great measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. But know this, In order to come up higher, there are things you must leave behind. They cannot come. You cannot come. And you will not come until you humble yourself beneath my mighty, loving, and tender hand of guidance, authority, and love. You cannot come on your own terms. You cannot dictate what will happen when you come. You will not come if you have a doubting heart that lacks the saving grace and faith that I have offered you. In this higher place, I'm your Lord. I am your shepherd. I'm your protector and provider and your guide. You are my son, my friend, and the apple of my eye. You must come by faith without doubting, trusting, and following without grumbling or complaining. You must give up trying to control your own life and destiny. You can't do it. You must surrender your right to yourself. You can do that. If this is a problem for you, I understand. But you cannot come up higher in any other way. My way is the way of brokenness, humility, surrender, repentance, and a contrite heart. These are my gifts to you that you may come. These are your friends who lead you to my presence. This is the path whereby all must come in order to come up higher. Will you come? One of the songs I remember most in my childhood and young adulthood is an invitation song. It's called "Come Away, My Beloved." The author said softly and tenderly, "Jesus is calling." I love to say, "Come away, my beloved. Come to me. Come up higher." Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See, at the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Is God calling you to a higher place today? Has God put his hand and his finger on something in your life that he just wants you to surrender and repent? If my men will humble themselves and seek my face and confess their sin and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive. I'll hear their prayer and I will forgive. And I'll let you come higher. Higher into my presence. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Guys, this is what it's all about. This is it. It's not religion. It's not about doctrines. It's about relationship with God who loves you. It's about bowing your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and allowing him to take your life and help himself. You're going to love eternity if you do. I'm afraid there are guys in here that are still holding on and debating and rejecting, even after so many talks and sermons and knowledge that's been imparted. So I want to just close today giving you softly and tenderly a message of come home. If you've never come home to Jesus Christ, if you've never given your heart to him as best you understand and know, if you don't know any more than I want what you're talking about, I want to know Christ. I want to know this peace. I want to come and live at a higher plane. I know that's my destiny. Guys that come to Christ have this understanding in their heart that there is a destiny for them. And they know it in their heart before they come to know Jesus. And they struggle with it. They wrestle with it. I sat through hundreds of softly and tenderlies growing up. Invitation hymns drove me nuts. And finally, one day I came. One day I was desperate enough and crisis enough that I came. Maybe that's the day for you today. Maybe you want to come and say, I can't control my own life. I mean, I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can. But there's only so much I can do, and then I'm out of control. I don't have security. I want to put my hopes and dreams in something that can never be taken away. Instead of all this stuff I got and put insure and put locks on and everything. And so, if you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ today, this prayer is for you. And pray like this. Father, everything that's been said there makes sense to me, and I believe you've nudged me and tugged at my heart to the place where I'm really tired and weary and I want to come home. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord, my protector, my provider. I've been out of control. I've proven that I can't control my own life, and I don't want to anymore. I want to give my heart to you. I want to be a man of God for such a time as this. I want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. I want to reach out instead of having to be reached out to all the time. I'm tired of guilt and I'm tired of shame, and I'm trying to work in real hard to achieve something I can't get to. So if surrendering to you and giving up and letting go and humbling myself is the path to your presence and my relationship with you for eternity, then Lord, I humble myself today and say, have your way with me. Come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, forgive my sins. And I want to live the rest of my life for you. Amen.
Amen.
If you did that, there's some guys that's going to be over here with Joseph. They want to pray with you. They want to help you in any way they can. Even if you didn't do that and you need some prayer this morning for whatever's going on in your crisis, or for someone else, just come over here and pray with these guys. Don't let your pride keep you from getting prayer. That's stupid.
Amen.
Putting it bluntly. Guys, there's some of you in here that the prayer is for you to let go of that thing that's keeping you from going higher. I implore you today. If God's nudging, don't make him have to create a crisis. If you're in that crisis, don't be so hard-headed that you're not going to repent and come up higher to him. God's called you. God says, you're my men. You're the apple of my eye. I died for you. I never criticize you. I correct and I rebuke and I train and I call you up higher to me. Come up higher today. In Jesus' name. Sing it for us, Sam.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is called.
It'd be really cool right now if you're gave your heart to Christ, if you just stood right where you are. I gave my heart to Christ today. First time I've ever done that. Or if you surrendered something today and you said, God, I'm surrendering this to you today. I want to come up higher. I want to be closer. I'm straining, I'm reaching for that upward call of God.
Oh, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
And Father, that's what we pray today. Thank you for allowing us. Thank you for the invitation to come. Thank you for calling us up higher. And I know we got a room full of guys here that want to come higher, that want to come closer. Help us in our struggles. I know you understand them. Help us break through. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.